Hello everyone and welcome to another episode of Beyond the Beat. My name is Alec Prieto and my co-host is Samir, and he's over out in New York, and this is a podcast about EDM news and culture. Samir, my man, how are you doing this week?
Dude, I'm doing great. I've had a really good week, really good weekend, just spending time with friends and family. Dude, I'm honestly just really stoked on like everything that's happening right now in the EDM scene. There just seems to be a lot of good stuff. And this past week has just been absolutely killer for some new releases, man. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, man, it's been really, really awesome, you know. And listeners, we've got a fantastic action-packed episode here for you. But we'll get into that, loads of the great new music in a little bit. But I wanted to start this episode off with the song that I definitely have on repeat. My girlfriend absolutely loves it. I play it in the car all the time. It's Vintage Culture, Save Me. Take a listen.
Thank you for like introducing me to this song, because
yeah, right.
I don't think I would have picked it up, you know, if it wasn't for you, man. But I really just love like the kind of low horns on the drop, and dude, even like the lyrics are good on this song too, man. You know me, like I'm not one for enjoying lyrics yeah, for words and music. So but dude, how did you stumble across this guy Vintage Culture?
Again, this is something that I've been talking with my girlfriend a lot over the weekend about, is the fact that this guy is actually quite big if you look at the numbers. I mean, his songs have got millions and millions of plays, but he's a Brazilian DJ. And so that made me just realize that there's a whole, you know, continent. It's that you've got all these South American DJs that we've just never heard of. But if you look on their like stats, they've actually got a lot of people, because I mean, it's clearly a big market over there for him. So I've just realized, you know, he's probably, you know, one of their top DJs. But have you really heard of him before?
No, I definitely have not, man.
What's really cool about it is that when I was looking into a bunch of the other Brazilian DJs, it's funny, I think, you know, their party and their club music really just is electronic music in general, right? So they probably wouldn't even consider it, you know, quote unquote EDM, I don't think. And this guy, all of his songs are similar to this in the sense that it's deep house with almost that big room type of drop in it, if you know what I mean. Mm-hmm. It's kind of a weird combination of the two. So I just thought there'd be a good way to kickstart this this episode off with that. It's a great song. So listeners, you'll be able to find all the links to any of the songs and articles that we mentioned in our show notes, as well as on our Facebook page. But dude, we'll quickly give a quick overview, because this episode, I'm really excited to talk about a bunch of stuff
here. Yeah, man, there's a lot of good stuff to talk about here.
There really is. I mean, we've got a couple updates from some prior artists that we're watching. That's from Trip Trop and Koos, which is, you know, these were just absolutely fire releases. We both really, really enjoyed them. And then a bunch of new music. And again, it's unfortunate because we can't mention everything. There's just so much going on, which is honestly a good problem to have. And I'm glad that we have that problem. But we've got, you know, Sin Mata with a flip. Artie came out with a new song. Sam Felt and a couple other songs too. For our news and culture section, there's again just so much stuff to go into, but briefly going over it,
we got
some business updates from SoundCloud and Hakkasan is really pulling out all the stops to make themselves the number one club in Las Vegas, it seems like. Brownies and Lemonade Block Party, what is going on? This looks like it's gonna be
Lordy. In I love it.
I know, absolutely,
we love it.
All right, Fisher. All right, we're not playing Losing It. That's not happening on the show.
My impression of Fisher.
It's not happening on the show. We're not playing Losing It, as much as you may want to Samir. Listeners, Samir really enjoys Losing It and every edit possible of it. So.
All right. Let's keep going before I start getting irate.
I mean, we got, again, some updates on a couple of festivals, Gold Rush in Arizona and Sunset Music is a festival in Tampa. And there's a new festival that Samir and I are considering going to. We'll mention that towards the end of it. Love to get any of the listeners' thoughts on that. But then we've got our anti-plur going into the What Are We Listening To. Got a great EP as well as a fantastic new single from one of our favorite producers / DJs, Madion. And then we'll go into what is quite possibly the epitome of our podcast, the artist that we're watching section. So Samir, kicking it back to you, man. what artists that we were watching has come out with something new.
Yeah, dude. So, I mean, like Alec had already mentioned, one of the best parts about this show is that every week we'd like to feature two new artists. And, you know, we also like to keep up to date with what they are up to in terms of their new releases. So we got Trip Trop. I don't know if you guys remember, but we recently just did an artist spotlight with them. We had a fantastic conversation. Two brothers out of California. They just released this new song called Unleashed. They release it on a pretty big EDM network, clout.nu, and I believe that's based in the Netherlands. But, you know, again, we got that jungle feel, some jungle trap, and, dude, I thought it smashed. So congratulations to Trip Trop. You guys did a great job with this one.
Yeah, this was a great one. You know, I'm not going to lie, I preferred maybe a couple of the other ones, but this is still, you know, a very high-quality release, and just it's just great seeing them get some traction. Right, you know, and I just love it.
If anything, these guys absolutely deserve like just all the notoriety and, you know, the support of a brand new kind of EDM network like clout.nu.
Right.
And so just really happy for them.
Yeah. So and listeners, if you haven't taken a listen to it, definitely go back and was it our third artist spotlight submit, or
yeah, our third artist spotlight.
It was our third one. Wow. I mean, it's you know, it's great. The reason why I question that, listeners, is because, you know, we've got so many great artists in our pipeline. You know, we really just can't wait to get these episodes out to you. So keep stay tuned. We'll keep you updated because we've got some fantastic people to go in. But definitely go give Trip Trop, give that episode a listen, as well as then you release. I mean, I know that you're going to like them. If Dylan Francis is supporting them, then, you know, something's good going on. But then the other one, Koos, you know, another guy who's been absolutely killing it. I haven't heard of the person he collaborated on this EP, though. This EP is called No Flex. He collaborated with Loz. Is that how... Am I saying his name right? I hope I am.
I don't really know. I'm not too sure how to say this one.
We're not good with these names, man. We got to get better at this.
We're really not good with these names, man. Artists just have really funky names these days, you know? But... shout out to Koos and Loss on this two-track EP. It's called No Flex. There's the title track, No Flex, and then they got the song Out of Space. It's that, dude, it's that Koos signature French house, man. I love Koos. I love Koos, man.
Love it, man.
You introduced him to me when we had featured him on the show previously before, and I've just been listening to his stuff nonstop. And this, I love that song, Out of Space, by the way. It's a really good one.
Listeners, again, you can find this all in the show notes, but we'll quickly go through this, Samir, since we've got a lot to get through this episode. But the new music, let's look at Daft Punk's One More Time / Aerodynamics. It's a Sinmata flip, right? What'd you think of this one?
Dude, loved it, man. Absolutely loved it. And guys, if you have not heard of Sinmata before, definitely check him out. You know, he's not a terribly, you know, big name DJ, but extremely, extremely, extremely talented. Actually, we're going to play a little clip of this Daft Punk One More Time Aerodynamic Cinemata flip. That's like a mouthful. It's like,
I know. I was struggling with it too.
Yeah. Yeah. But listeners, check it out. You guys, I think, are going to absolutely love this one. So just good find here, Alec. This is awesome.
He's interesting. It's like mid-tempo with some future bass.
Yeah.
It's really interesting.
Alec, I feel like you love your mid-tempo, dude. You're all about it.
You know, it's funny. I think it's because I just, you know, took a deeper dive into it when we started this podcast. And I guess now just all the suggestions I get and the algorithms on SoundCloud and other places that I use, you really are just showing me a bunch of great mid-tempo and stuff like that. So definitely... Yeah. Definitely is of keen interest to me, but I think it's just a general movement, and, you know, don't you think? I feel like it's a movement, and just now anyhow.
So. Oh yeah, it's there's no doubt about that, dude. You know, mid-tempo music has certainly taken off, so I completely agree with that.
It really has. But Samir, yeah. I'm pretty sure that you put this one up, Arty Sunshine. You're really feeling your arty music now, aren't you?
I know, dude. Arty was my song that was on repeat last week, and dude, actually I am not a trance music fan all that much, but I love Arty. I don't know what it is about his sound.
Good.
I just love him. I don't think, like, obviously some of his tracks are, like, very uplifting and, like, very airy and spacey, but I feel like Arty
and that's
is
wrong.
Just...
Uplifting is a bad thing.
Yeah, and I fucking hate being uplifted, so don't give me that positivity. No, I'm just kidding, listeners. I'm a pretty positive person overall. But with Arty's Sunshine, you know, I think it's perfect. Like, it's nice. It's got a nice kick to it. I think it's light and airy just enough where I don't feel like I'm being told to, like, constantly believe in myself. So I love that. I love Arty, and I love this song, Sunshine. Alec, what did you think?
Yeah, I really liked it. You know, I like the uplifting part, actually. You know, hopefully you did too. But yeah, I really enjoyed it. He's just doing really well. And I really like his Alpha 9 alias as well. He does a really good job with that as well. But, you know, I'm glad that you're getting
I would love to
man.
See him live.
Yeah. Yeah, we should. We should definitely try and catch him at some point. Yeah. Definitely. But, and here's another big dude and the big guy. Well, not big in size. I don't know. Is he big? Who knows? But Kygo. big in terms of mainstream. Not okay. What do you think? Was it okay?
You know, it's fine.
It's okay.
It was fine. You know, I like some of Kygo's releases. I really liked what he was doing when he was first coming onto the scene. Let's say like circa 2014, 2015, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. I feel like it's just kind of become a little boring for me. And I'm just not really all that excited about Kygo like I used to be. I feel like he hasn't really changed up his sound all that much in a while.
This is just an
okay song for me, Alec. Yeah.
Yeah, it was just an okay song for me too. But listeners, you might like that. So definitely take a listen to it as well. Give it a shot.
Yeah.
And then another kind of more like, I don't want to say feelsy. He can be pretty feelsy though, but in a more of a deep house way. Sam Felt.
Yeah.
Right? What do you think of Post Malone? Well, that's the name of the song. That's a little confusing.
Okay, Alec. Dude, I was literally about to say the same thing. Yeah, Alec, when I first saw this song, it was like, you know, that was being released. I was like, all right, wait, so Sam Felt and Post Malone did a track together? Do I understand that? And it's like featuring Ronnie. And then I looked deeper into the title. I'm like, oh, okay, the song is called Post Malone. It's by Sam Felt and it's featuring Ronnie. Got it. Honestly, dude, I liked it. I like this song. I think it's like perfect in time for the summer. Like, I feel like all these tracks that we're talking about in this section this week are kind of perfectly in tune for the summer. And I thought the lyrics are actually pretty catchy. I'm not really usually one for like lyrics like telling me to like party and like, you know.
You're just not for lyrics in general, man. It seems.
I don't know, dude. I'm just not a lyrics person.
You're just not a words type of guy. You know, more stoic with your music. You just like sounds and beeps. And boops.
Exactly. And every once in a while, I'll get pretty stoked on some lyrics. And actually, this song, I thought, you know, it's a good summer party song. That's what I got to say about it. And I think people will really enjoy it. What did you think?
Me too, man. This is perfect for like a summer barbecue, you know, or you taking your summer road trip, doing something like that. Windows down, playing this song. Sam Felt bringing the vibes. He would be good with Post Malone. He should do that. I wonder if that's...
I was thinking the same thing.
He'd be really good.
Hey, you know what? In the meantime, before we get that collaboration, hopefully it comes, you know, we'll see. This is going to hold me over for some time, and it's definitely perfect for my summer playlists, and I'm about it.
Yeah,
so,
me too, man.
Alec, how are you doing over there, dog? In San Francisco, my man. You had a pretty good night last night, dude. Tell me about it.
Yeah.
What did you see? Where did you go? How was the vibe? Let's hear it.
Well, I'm hurting a little bit today. I had to drag myself out of bed to come record this podcast because I had an amazing, amazing night at this club called Audio in San Francisco, seeing one of Samir and I's favorite real up-and-coming artists, Noizu. Samir, correct me if I'm wrong, but we only got a chance to see him for maybe 20 minutes was all that we saw at EDC, right? Yeah, so I really wanted to go check him out again because he absolutely crushed it. And I'm telling you, man, he crushed it yet again. I couldn't believe it, but he practically sold out. I think he did sell out the club, at least all of the online tickets.
Nice.
And audio, yeah, you talk about vibes, man. I really am a very big fan of audio now, primarily because they do have a lot of great house DJs come through, but it's just a perfect vibe for house. You know, it's a smaller, right, intimate club. Kind of got, it's interesting. So they've really done a very good job of combining a bar like design, right, to a room with a nightclub. But it's not cheesy. It doesn't have like the sofas in the way and stuff. But they just do a really nice job. There's like a central dance area, and then, you know, it's a couple like stairs that create this elevated like surrounding. I'm not really describing it very well, as you can tell, it's been a long night. But anyway,
I feel like I'm there.
Yeah,
like
I'm, yeah, there, right, totally. Now. I just, you know, I should really be a designer for these places. But
exactly.
But yeah, man, I'm so happy that my girlfriend and I got a chance to go see him. He just absolutely crushed it. Had everyone moving in there. It was fantastic. Shout out to Noisy for a fantastic set,
dude. Love to hear that, man. Seriously. Yeah, I hope we get a chance to see him again sometime. I like, he smashed it at EDC, so I was really, really pumped when you told me that you're going to go see him in San Francisco when he was in town last night. So
yeah, that's great, that was, dude, awesome. I'm just glad that we were able to do it. I mean, it was a steal, too, in terms of like the ticket price. It really was. It's just an absolute steal. And he just, I'm just so happy to see that people had heard of him and people came, you know, in troves to see him, which was just really nice. I loved that. Because guess who was also in San Francisco?
Who?
Well, I was over the weekend. I think I was either, I think it was Friday night, not the same time, but, you know, I was surprised people came out for Noisy and the amount they did, but Alesso was in San Francisco.
Whoa, I did not know Alesso was in town this past weekend in San Francisco.
Yeah, see, I actually forgot about that too. He played at a club called Temple, which is more kind of the, slightly more mainstream club, I'd say. I guess I would compare it to it's hard for in New York,
like a Marquee New York.
Yes, Marquee. That's exactly kind of what I would compare it to in terms of like that the vibe there, right, was a little bit more mainstream. Nothing wrong with that, just saying, you know, just a little bit more mainstream. And they have hip-hop people go all the time there too. Anyways, I digress. That was just an awesome set, and I'm really glad that I got to see him. But going into the...
Really stoked on that.
Yeah, man, it was just awesome. Going into some of the business news, I know we've been talking about some... Hasn't really been too much on the news front in terms of DJ software and people from, you know, Traktor and stuff like that. But there's been a new announcement about SoundCloud integrating with the Traktor DJ 2.
Hey, this is Ari from Native Instruments, and in this video we will take a closer look at the SoundCloud Go Plus integration within Traktor DJ 2. SoundCloud integration means the Traktor DJ packs a bottomless record crate filled with everything from the latest chart tracks to the hottest underground edits.
What do you think about this, man? Do you like how all these streaming services are starting to be added to the DJ software?
I'm pumped about it. My only concern when it comes to, like, for instance, in this case, SoundCloud, you know, and them teaming up with like Native Instruments, who puts out Traktor, which is one of the biggest DJ softwares in the industry. Listeners, just in case you guys didn't know, I think it's cool, and I think it gives access to a whole host of music to folks who, you know, might not, you know, who would otherwise not be able to like dig that deep into SoundCloud, because SoundCloud is just some absolutely amazing artists that, you know, Alec and I like to spend some time exploring and trying to find. My biggest concern here is with performance issues, dude. You know, I'm just concerned about the latency when you stream. Like, you need a solid connection when you're going to stream music like that and play it out. I'm concerned about like how quickly the waveforms appear in the software. I'm concerned about, you know, how quick the playback is. Does it lag? You know, are you able to cue properly? Like, I don't know. I think it's cool, but I think that the execution really needs to be spot on here.
No, I agree, man. Like, you know, if you have a dodgy connection, you're kind of screwed, I think.
Yeah, like I wouldn't rely on this, you know.
No, not
like
at all.
I've DJed in venues before where like the Wi-Fi connection absolutely sucks, you know.
Right, and that's most places, really.
Yeah, I love stuff like this. It's just like I really hope that the execution is done right. That's my only thing.
Yeah, you know, and the other thing, I have a quick thing I'd bring up about this too, is do you think in a way that having these streaming services now really become integrated with a DJ's performances, is it gonna almost hurt when DJs release new tracks and stuff like that, right? Because, you know, I know that there's not as much money in it in general, right, as they used to be, perhaps, in terms of actual releases. But do you think this is almost like kind of being like, yeah, you know, we don't really even expect DJs to buy your music now?
Yeah, I see what you're saying, Alec. Like, are you concerned about like actual record sales?
Yeah,
you
know, like
versus like exactly. a play per stream, which is like pennies on the dollar, which is not even. I'm sorry, fractions on the penny, I should say. That's how much you know an artist gets when you stream their song right. through a streaming service. Yeah, I am concerned about that, but I just don't think it would greatly impact sales like that. You know what I mean? Because I'm also thinking about the fact that like you know. You still have a lot of music on SoundCloud that is available for free download, you know? And, you know, when big artists release music on SoundCloud, you usually have to buy those tracks. Like, they're not easily available on SoundCloud. At least in my experience, that's what I found. What do you think?
No, totally. They're not. I agree with that. But if you can stream it, right, if you're a bedroom producer, bedroom DJ, and you can just stream these tracks, right, like, I guess there's... You know, what's the incentive for you really to download the song and buy it?
Oh, yeah. The incentive is definitely minimal.
My point. Yeah. Is like, that's what I would be more concerned with. And I don't think it's going to, you know, actually, you know, drastically affect record sales. But yeah. I think it's almost the mentality thing. I think it's also, there's also big upsides to it too, right? Like, it is nice as a DJ to be able to have that ability to just hop on and find a song that, you know, you forgot to download or for whatever reason. So there's both pros and cons to it, but moving onwards, going to Las Vegas, where Samir and I were just recently. Gosh, I do miss it. We should go back.
Sir, I miss it. I miss it so much.
I know. Well, I miss it for the music. That's really it. I don't do the gambling or anything like that. Yeah, totally. But Hakkasan unveils the new Hakkasan grid. Now, apparently, this is the largest kinetic light installation in the entire U.S., man. What have you seen any pictures of this? I know the dancing astronaut goes over it. It's awesome, right?
Yeah, it looks absolutely insane. And listeners, just so you know, Hakkasan is like one of the biggest nightclubs in Las Vegas. I mean, it pulls in massive names, you know, Steve Aoki, Calvin Harris, Tiesto. I mean, all these names, they go to Hakkasan, they DJ. And I mean, you know, they sell tickets, they sell bottle service. I mean, these clubs in Las Vegas make a ton of money, especially during this time of year. But you guys have got to see the pictures from their newest setup, like Alec had already explained. I mean, we'll have a link to this in our show notes, but it looks absolutely insane. And I love that, like, I love that clubs are trying to make more of an experience for the guests now. You know what I mean? And I feel like a proper lighting installation, a proper sound installation, I think all these things kind of contribute to a good time. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like when you go and you tell your friends about a club that you went to the other night, right? Like, you're going to say, oh yeah, the set was sick. And the lighting was awesome as well. Right. I feel like it used to be like, the music was amazing, you know, it was bumping and people were having a good time. But I feel like now people are expecting a little bit more, and I think Hakkasan realizes that. And I think that they're really trying to play into that and, you know, really appeal to their guests once again with this brand new lighting installation.
Well, and you know what I actually like about this too, in a way, is the fact that it's a lighting installation rather than just say, like, you know, the having just graphics being put up and stuff like that.
Oh, totally, dude.
You know, totally. Like, I don't get me wrong, I love the whole everything with graphics and stuff, but you really do get a lot of that at festivals and stuff like that. But I really like the more minimalist take on this, on the
totally
light, you know,
agreed.
On the lighting and this. It just feels a little bit more, I don't know. I feel like it's definitely beneficial to things like house music and stuff like that, where it really forces you to really dive into the set mentally, right? You're not just distracted by things, but with graphics and things like that. But anyways, you know, listeners, take a look. We'll have a link to that article, which shows all the pictures and describes it in a bit more detail in our show notes. But Samir, ever since we saw Brownies and Lemonade at Ultra, we've just been huge fans. It's just so cool to see, like, I mean, they're just blowing up right now, man. Isn't it crazy?
I know, dude. These, you know, listeners, again, these are promoters from, I believe, California, who put on some absolutely dope parties all around the U.S. They host stages at multiple festivals. They host a stage at EDC. They've done it at Izu. These guys are everything that, in my opinion, these guys are everything that is right about the electronic music scene, curating fantastic lineups that are unique and just providing an awesome experience. And I find that the ticket prices are actually relatively, like, reasonable. You know what I mean? When they put on shows. So
yeah, they do a really good job with
these guys.
They do a really good job. And what I like too is you can see also, so a little bit more background in case listeners you haven't heard about Brownies Lemonade before. They are they started off as more of an underground, you know, group of promoters, right? And so they were putting on parties and, like, you know, really underground clubs and, like, apparently even, like, yeah, alleyways. It just, like, this is just a small movement. I believe it's out of LA is where they started, but it was really focused on the underground.
I think you're right.
Right, yeah, it's LA, right? And then there was the underground trap scene, right? So they developed these relationships with these DJs, and I guess, you know, it's just taken a while for them to come up, just because, you know, their musical careers that had to progress, right? And so now they've got a bunch of, like, friends who are just, you know, really good DJs now. I mean, we're talking about people like Bauer. He seems to constantly be there. Seems like, I don't know how close the relationship is, but it seems like Akali has a relationship with them too.
Yeah.
You know, so anyway, but you could just go take this. Let's just go into the lineup, man. I mean, this block party looks awesome.
Oh, dude, absolutely. So let's start right at the top, dude. I mean, you already mentioned Bauer, but we got a Bauer back-to-back party favor. I'm going to save this one for last, Alec, because I know we're going to talk about this quite a bit, right? Mm-hmm. The next one, Manila Killa back-to-back Chet Porter Medicine. Moxie with the Moxie switch up, baby. We got Nina Las Vegas. They always do the Brownies and Lemonade All-Star surprise guests, which you never know who's going to show up. I mean, seriously,
really
Skrillex has
they
shown
do a
up
very
before.
Good job
Dogblood has shown up. Yeah. Yeah, these guys are always killing it, man. And then finally, we saved this one very special for last year on the lineup. Getter, he's doing a Visceral tour show again.
That's
listeners,
awesome.
Let that sink in. Dude,
the great sound effect there too, man. Really episode
Thank
drives
you,
the point.
Thank
drives
you.
The point home.
Yeah,
but you Thank know you. This is awesome. I saw on Brownies and Lemonade's Instagram too. They actually made a separate individual post where they announced the fact that Getter would be doing, they invited him to do, because they did, they reached out to him and said, hey, you should play your Visceral set again. And for those of you who, you know, are not really in the loop on this, I believe it was a few months ago now, right, Samir, where Getter had to, unfortunately, he just canceled his Visceral tour for his new album because the crowd reactions he was getting was horrible. And that's because his Visceral album is very, very different than his the sound that he's been associated with, right? And so we really talked about this. This was a big thing for us where it's like, you know, you shouldn't really pigeonhole DJs like this. And even if you don't like the music, you should just not treat somebody that way. So it's really, that's just, again, I think you hit the nail on the head, Samir, when you said that Brownies and Lemonade right now is everything right about the electronic music scene. And this is just the epitome of it. The fact that they went out and they were like, you know what, man, like, there are people who like your sound, we like your sound, and you should not have to cancel a whole tour because people are just being idiots and, you know, not treating you right. So this is just really restored my faith in the electronic music industry to see this.
Absolutely, dude. Absolutely. And I'm also just really stoked on the fact that Getter was about it. You know what I mean? Like, he's like, all right, like, I'm sure Getter took a lot of time to think about if he wants to come back and do his Visceral tour show again. And so I'm just really excited that he felt confident and comfortable enough after taking some time off from the music industry to say, yes, like, I'm ready to come back and I'm ready to do a Visceral tour show again.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that, you know, he's reinstating his tour because he had canceled a lot of the shows on like the latter part of his tour, just, you know, like Alec had said, due to the crowd reaction here. But a special one-off show, I think it's great. I think it's important, and I hope that the folks in the crowd will appreciate what Getter is doing here and what Brownies and Lemonade have put on for everybody.
I think they will, man. And just quickly before we move on, I think they will, primarily because of the vibe that Brownies and Lemonade set, right? They set a vibe where it's
absolutely,
like, experimental, everyone's having a good time. And you can see it. Like, you ever just, you know, if you go to a Brownies and Lemonade, you know, show that they're putting on, you'll see the DJs are having an absolute blast back there. You know, they're all jumping in together. They're doing, like, you know, they'll do random back-to-backs. And they're all it's just a great time. And you can see that reflected in the crowd, too. The crowd is very easygoing, very accepting, willing to see DJs try different stuff, right? So that's why I think this is actually going to go really well for him.
Dude, I mean, seriously, Alec, I really mean this. Like, you know, this is before you moved, but that Izu 2018 Brownies and Lemonade After Party is still, like, one of my all-time favorite shows that I've ever been to, because that crowd was right. The vibe in that venue was right. I mean, and the lineup was stacked. Talent was great. I mean, I love that night. That was a really good night.
Wow. That's a big compliment. I don't think Brownies and Lemonade, you don't understand. That's big coming from Samir. That's very big.
I've been to a lot of shows and a lot of festivals
of
Brownies and Lemonade.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, there you go.
Yeah. But folks, if you guys end up going out there, the party's on July 3rd in LA. If you guys end up going there, please let us know how it is. I mean, we'd love to hear your feedback, and I hope everyone has a good time, man. I'm excited to see how it turns out.
Yeah, well, man, I tell you, this was, you know what, you go into it, because this, This is giving me a headache, and I certainly don't need one now.
I know. All right, listeners. Okay, we're going to talk about this release later on in the show in the What Are We Listening To section of the podcast here, right? But Madeon had put out a brand new track. It's called All My Friends. And, you know, here's the thing about Madeon. He has a kind of a specific way of how he markets his music, okay? And so, you know, there's kind of a buzz around the fact that he is going to be putting out a new album, you know, after almost, I think it's like been almost 3 or 4 years since like he released Adventure, which I believe came out in 2015. Yeah, so it'd be 4 years. So, you know, obviously the internet is a buzz, you know, everyone's trying to, you know, figure out more, and Madeon's very cryptic, and he always has been very cryptic. But there was an Instagram account started, a fake Instagram account started, and I'm not too sure if it's still available. I'm not sure if it's still online, but it was at goodfaith, right? That's one word. So at goodfaith.world. And basically, the people behind this Instagram account had studied how Madeon kind of releases his tunes and how he teases the crowd and puts out cryptic messages. And they kind of played into that. And what they did was is that they created posts that would allude to some of the potential collaborations on this album, on Madeon's new album, all right? So some of the artists that they hinted at were, I mean, Lady Gaga, Porter Robinson, Lemaitre. I really don't know how to say this name. It's Lemaitre. Lemaitre. I'm just gonna say it that way. Lemaitre. I don't know.
He tried.
I'm really trying here, guys. I really am. And so basically, they were alluding to the fact that he has all these collaborations coming out on this new album, which I believe is going to be called Good Faith. And guess what? It was all fake. It was all fake. All of this was fake. But here's the worst part about this whole thing. There were a bunch of EDM blogs that picked up on this Instagram account, and they were publishing, you know, stories and blog posts on their websites basically saying that Madeon is going to be releasing music with the likes of Porter Robinson and Lady Gaga. So let's let that sink in for a little bit. We've kind of set the scene here. But I think that this... we need to talk about this from a higher level view, right? I want to talk about this in the fact that, like, in everyday news, right? I'm talking about when you turn on your local news station, those stories are fact checked, you know, and due diligence is done to make sure, to the best of anyone's ability, to make sure that the facts that are being presented are accurate, right? Mm-hmm. But there are times, Alec, and I don't know if I think you'd agree with me here. There are times where I feel like a lot of EDM blogs kind of, they don't do enough due diligence, and they rely on, you know, hearsay, and they rely on really unverified news sources. Like, for instance, this Instagram account, which was not associated with Madeon in any way or anybody on his team. They'll go into those kinds of accounts. They'll go on Reddit. They'll read the threads, and then they'll publish what is being written in these threads as fact, without doing any fact-checking. And I personally feel like it is wholly, wholly irresponsible for them to do this.
Yeah, man.
What do you think?
And this is why it gives me a headache, because it's definitely an issue, right? And I think there's a couple components of it, if we break it down, right? That it's very competitive to get the scoop on something, right? So I think you've got these blogs, you know, who... you know, definitely trying to, you know, they're definitely fighting for attention from readers and from EDM fans all across the world. And so they want to break when something like this potentially, you know, that is really big, a potential big announcement like this, they definitely want to get that scoop first so that people are just going to jump on it, right? So there's already that inclination to not really go about and do your due diligence, because you're like, wow, I've got to get this out. Because if, you know, in their minds, it's probably like, if I don't, someone else is, right? And it's almost like better to do first and then apologize later. But from the perspective of the consumer, of the EDM fans and of the listeners and the readers, you know, this is not good, because it just really gives a lot of, you know, and in this case, it's not anything harmful, right? And I believe was that the point of the Instagram account, was to try bring, you know, optics to this issue, or was it just a couple people trying to hoax? I'm not sure which one it was.
I don't know, Alec. I'm also a bit I'm also a bit on edge as to which way I'm swinging here in terms of, like, are these guys just trolls or were they trying to prove a point, right?
Yeah.
So let me, can I just quickly read a statement here that they posted? Yeah. So listeners, here's a little excerpt. I took some screenshots on my phone and I actually just checked the Instagram account is still live. So you can read this yourself as well. But they basically say this. We are goodfaith.world. We have been involved in the widely spread Madeon album leak reported in multiple EDM blogs. We wish to set the record so forth. We do not exist. Then they give their names, but I'm not going to say their names because I don't know if we can verify that really. But they said our original goal was through hidden clues, create a fake account that, when clues are found, reveals an alleged song list. To our shock and surprise, this rumor spread much farther than we thought it should have. We had done these sorts of studies before, but never to this scale. And then the statement's a little bit longer here, but you know, here's another important excerpt. We also express anger at the many EDM blogs who spread this rumor far beyond where it should have gone, allowing an unsourced account to hit the main stage. They're basically saying that they were brought onto the main stage of EDM world while giving no indication of it being a possible hoax. So basically what they're saying is they're upset, and I'm upset too about this, that the fact that these EDM blogs did not do their due diligence and presented this information, which really, I mean, it blew up, guys. I mean, there were people who were texting me about it. I saw it on a bunch of different Facebook groups that I'm in for EDM. And none of these EDM blogs ever said in their articles or stopped to say, we are not entirely sure if this is true. We're not entirely sure if this is a hoax. They basically want to be first to market and present this as fact, even though it's not. It's false.
Yeah, and there's the issue, man. And again, thank you for reading that statement because, you know, I think it's an important lesson, but was it necessary to do it this way, right? I don't know how I feel in general about these social experiments, right? And these social studies. Yeah. They say these studies, but they're not really studies. They're just social experiments.
Yeah.
And there's no controlling factors to it, right? Like, they were like, oh, it shouldn't have spread this much. Well, I'm like, well, no crap, because studies are done in a vacuum where you're controlling for these extraneous variables. And I'm like, you know, this is fine because it's nothing damaging. But what if it was something else, right? Like, what if they were talking about something a little bit more serious that would have had some effect?
Absolutely.
You know, and so that's just my criticism of them from that perspective. However, the majority of the criticism, let's not displace it. It should not be on these guys as much as it is on the blogs and stuff. You know, like, I know it's competitive, but come on, people. You got to do your due diligence with it, you know, and
absolutely.
Again, it's not that harmful, but you definitely got people's hopes up. Hell, it got my hopes up when I saw it. And then I was like, wait, this just doesn't look great. So Samir and I chatted about it. And,
yeah, dude.
You know, we were like, this doesn't make any sense. Man. It doesn't make any sense.
There were a lot of comments on their post on Instagram, which is basically just like, you know, you guys are dicks. Fuck you guys. This and that. But look, I think that, yes, what they did was like relatively harmless. And I think that it really did prove a good point here. And I'm glad that like they weren't creating a hoax about something like massive that was detrimental to a group of people. But I don't think that the anger really should be placed on these folks like people have been placing to them online. I think that really the anger and the disappointment should be placed towards these EDM blogs.
I agree. Wholeheartedly agree with that, man, because that is the job of, if you're a publisher, you're a curator of content.
Absolutely.
You're a curator of content. And, you know, I think the issue, honestly, also lies in the fact that social media really has generally made us, you know, post things in a stream of conscious type of way, right? So when we look at posting content, we just do it. We don't even really think about it, right? Hell, people probably didn't even click on the article. They just read the headline, right?
Yeah.
And that's part of the issue, I think, is that it's now kind of that type of mentality on the consumer end is now shifting into the people who are providing us with that content, where they're just like, oh, just stream of consciousness, just put it out there, you know. And I don't like the fact that the anger is being, you know, directed primarily to these people, because although, you know, it's certainly you should be critical of what they did, that this wouldn't have happened had the blogs not picked up on it without doing any research, really, in general. And if they did do research, clearly their research wasn't very good. So, both ways, it's bad, and it looks bad on the blog. So just, I don't know, man. Like, it just upsets me, because it's like, this is an issue not just in music, right, in the music industry. This is an issue everywhere right now, and it's just
a very big
issue with social media and a very big issue with the news cycle right now.
Totally agreed. So, you know, listeners, just before we close out this topic here on the news and culture section, you know, just, you know, when you see things like this kind of pop up, right, do a little bit more due diligence and just make sure that the source that, you know, is reporting on this sort of news is verifiable and that, you know, the author or the news outlet had done their job in terms of making sure that the facts were correct.
Right.
But this is interesting, Alec. I was really following this quite a bit this past week, and I was just very, very intrigued by this happening, you know?
Yeah.
But listeners, I'm stoked on the fact that Madeon is coming out with new music, and we're going to be talking about that later on in the show. I'm very excited to see what else he does here.
Yeah, definitely, man. And me too. You know, yeah. And this was a very good topic, so I'm glad that we talked about it, you know? And
me too.
Yeah, it's definitely very important. And I don't want to focus on this too much longer at all, but I just want to say that, you know, we also take our job very seriously in terms of curating the content. And that is why we have, you know, we don't have to post all these links, right, in the show notes. And trust me, they are an absolute hassle to do. But we think it's a real hassle. We love you guys. We really do. No. No, but seriously, we do it. We're more than happy to do it, primarily because we understand our role in distributing information and commentating on it. So that's also why, you know, if we're not sure about something, we'll say it too, on top of that, right?
Absolutely,
like
Alec.
You know, and that's where we have the link. So I think it's just important to clarify our position in this too, which is where it's like, we think this is unacceptable. And look, listeners, if there's anything that we say is wrong, if we're not, you know, forthright with saying, hey, I'm not entirely sure about what I'm saying, please let us know, right? I mean, I prefer if you don't try publicly lambast us, right? But, you know, maybe a message will suffice. But, you know, we tend to be very careful. And knock on wood, I don't think we've ever done or will make a mistake like this. So,
all right, Alec, let's kick it right back up, dude. All right, we got Gold Rush in Arizona, baby. Phase 1 lineup just came out. And I've heard Gold Rush is a good time, dude. I follow a couple people who live in that area on Instagram, and like they always seem to have a really good time at Gold Rush. So did you get a chance to take a look at this lineup? It's on September. Gold Rush takes place on September 27th and 28th. Did you see this?
Yeah, man. It's really interesting you mentioned this, because it's somewhere that I would really like to... Arizona would be an interesting place to see a festival, you know? I mean, it's kind of that same, you know, climate as Las Vegas, right? So it'd be really interesting to go see this. But I did see the lineup, man, and I'm actually pretty impressed. I mean, I have a couple of things that I would maybe slight critiques that I don't really understand in general. But you've got Alison Wonderland there, which is great. She's absolutely killing it. Destructo, right? Another guy. I really do like Destructo. I'm glad to see he's back out on the festival circuit a little bit more often.
Me too.
Don Diablo, Dr. Fresh, Funk Case with some dubstep in there. Kyle Watson. I'm so glad that he got a spot here, because...
Oh, I knew he was stuck on that one, dude. I knew it.
Yeah. I was really excited when I saw that. Oliver Heldens, Will Clark, Zoo, Zomboy, you know, this is a great lineup. But the two things that I I'm not entirely sure why
I think
do.
I know who you're gonna say.
Yeah, go on, read my mind. Who am I gonna say?
Okay, wait, can I really quickly say, are you confused about Umek on this lineup?
No, actually, I'm not. It's a little bit out there for me, but that's actually not the people that I was gonna bring up. But good point. They are a little bit out there. It's Sheck West, man. Sheck West. What the hell is he doing? Why is he there?
I don't know, dude.
Trippy Red, I think he's another rapper. And I don't mind it. I like the fact that they're crossing it, but it's just like the festival seem to be just having these token rappers, right? Just like throwing them in there, it's sprinkling them into the lineup and stuff. And I'd much prefer it if they tried to integrate it a little bit more. I like the fact that do you see what I mean? Maybe have a little bit broader of an offering then, if they really want to, just because one, I understand it's nice to switch it up, but two, I don't think it's, you know, I don't think it's good for the artists just in general, you know, like it's really not giving them the proper platform for their music. I think, trust me, I'm not the biggest Sheck West fan, and I'm not a hip hop fan, but I'm like, if you're gonna do it right.
When I was out there in San Francisco, dude, I'm pretty sure you had like Sheck West posters all around.
Yeah, see, spread of misinformation. This is exactly how it's done.
Yeah, there's some
non-verifiable information.
No, this is verifiable because it's a first-hand account of Alex Room by yours truly, Samir Singhal. Okay, so
oh my god,
it is interesting to see more and more rappers pop up on these lineups. And you know, I like the change of pace. I do, but I just there's sometimes, and I think you just said this, but I feel like it's almost out of place, and I feel like the crowd that these rappers will draw, it's just like, I don't know, like are they there to see like Are they there to see hip-hop acts, you know? Like, are they going to go right from Zoo to go see Sheck West? Like, I don't know, dude. It's a little confusing. Listeners, that was only the phase one lineup, so as the continuing phases come out, we will definitely keep you guys posted on how that develops, right? Moving on, dude. Actually, we got a lot of festival news to talk about here. Ladies and gentlemen, we're in festival season.
We are.
So there's always something going on here for the summer. But Sunset Music Festival in Tampa, Florida had just taken place. And guys, let me tell you, from what we could see, from what we were reading, it was hot, hot, hot out there, man. Upper 90s in Tampa, Florida, dude. That's no joke. That's hot. All right, but you had 25,000 people show up, right? And dude, there were some pretty big names that came out for it, man. Boys Noize was there. You got, you know, with Skrillex, they were doing Dog Blood, Alison in Wonderland, Cascade. Rez was there.
Was it Chami though?
Chami? Man, I'll confirm that for you real soon. But dude, this is nutty. I mean, this is a cool lineup, but. Ladies and gentlemen, real quick, I just want to say, guys, when you're at a music festival, you know, make sure you're not putting yourself in any kind of dangerous situations like one young fan did during a Dog Blood set. Yeah. He got on it a little bit too much. He got a little bit too rowdy, and basically, you know, security had to, like, you know, hold him back, or, like, you know, kind of pull him away from the stage because he's like trying to jump the barrier. And in fact, Skrillex gets on the mic to help this kid out.
No, guys, please, just calm a little bit. Calm a little bit. I think everyone's cool. He's a kid.
This is Skrillex saying this during his set, right, to the whole crowd, because he could see this scuffle going on between this young fan and, like, 10 security guards. And then, I mean, the kid kept on persisting, and then finally, you know, Skrillex said, you know, you've got 10 security guards on you, man. Just go home. Okay, like, it's just... I mean, shout out to Skrillex, man. I mean, you know, Skrillex really didn't have to do that. He didn't really have to get involved. But shout out to Skrillex for being an upstanding dude and just, like, trying to temper the situation down a little bit, you know?
Yeah, totally agreed, man. I mean, it's... Yeah, we already talked about people getting rowdy and stuff. But I think it's nice that Skrillex did at least try to help out there. But that it really must have been pretty obvious, though. It's just crazy to see... that people get that rowdy and are able to cause such a scuffle that they're going to get someone like Skrillex, you know, who's deep into the set, to look up and be like, whoa, something's going on here. Twice, right? Like, wasn't it?
I know.
Unbelievable, man. But I think you said that there's a clip of this, right? There's some recording of it.
Yes, sir. There was somebody by the name, this is their Instagram name here, @ChrisYN7, took a little video here of this fan just getting too rowdy, you know, and basically, like, right at the front of the crowd. Listeners, we're going to have a link to that in our show notes if you guys want to check it out. But I hope this kid was okay, you know, hope he was all right. And just shout out to Skrillex for just being an upstanding dude and just trying to, you know, lessen the severity of the situation. I think I love that he did that.
Yeah, I agree, man. But it, you know, getting back to the lineup real quick, I actually did check. Chami was there, which is pretty big.
Ooh,
so, yeah,
very nice.
Dude, they had a really stacked lineup. I mean, you've also got Cascade, Elenium, Getter was there too, Ganja White Knight, Gamma, I mean, Flux Pavilion, Fisher, got Dombrowski.
Yeah.
List goes on top of Dog Blood. So it's a really good, you know, they've done a very nice job. I've been keeping tabs on that festival for the last, you know, year or so. And they seem to really be ramping up a lot of things. But I don't think it's a good time of the year to have it, man. I mean, Tampa gets hot.
I can't imagine, like, you know, just being out there. It's too much. It's too hot. And then the crowds get packed, especially for big names. You know, there was an article here from I think it's the Tampa Bay Times. Yeah, Tampa Bay Times basically just saying that there were some heat-related illnesses and, you know, folks who had to be kind of taken to the hospital. So listeners, you know, if you're out there, it's festival season, it's the summertime, just, you know, make sure you guys are staying hydrated, make sure you guys take breaks. It's hot. You know, so we all got to make sure we're safe out there.
Yeah, very well said, man. Very well said. It will be interesting to see moving forward if they kind of like EDC did.
All right, listeners, every week, every fucking week. I'm so sick and tired of Ultra, Alec.
Oh, no. We're talking about this again.
Yeah, real quick, though. This is actually going to be more of a smaller update, listeners. We told you we keep you guys updated here on Ultra. But basically, there was the board of the Downtown Neighbors Alliance, right, for downtown Miami. And this was in conjunction with the Bayfront Park Management Trust, where they took a vote to kind of do some policy changes in terms of when live events are held in Bayfront Park in downtown Miami. This used to be Ultra's old venue up until this past year where they moved. But Alec, did you read some of these policy changes, dude? I don't know how any concert live event will ever be held here at Bayfront Park.
Well, I mean, and do you think that might be the point?
Oh, yeah, I absolutely think that's the point of all these policy changes, right? So, listeners, take a listen to this, right? This is why I don't think Ultra will be returning back. That's my opinion. I want to preface this by saying that's my opinion that I don't think Ultra will come back to Bayfront Park. That's my opinion, okay?
Yeah.
All right, so, number one, all events will now end 1 hour earlier. So that means they will end at 10 p.m. on weekdays. And 11 p.m. on weekends and holidays. New Year's Eve is exempt. All right. Number two, stricter noise limits, right? So now there's a maximum current level of 110 decibels, and that's being brought down between 75 to 100 decibels. There's no explanation right now from what I can see in terms of why there's this range here, but that's where they're bringing it down to. So now it's quieter, okay? Here's another one. When events are put on here, they have to put the event 60 yards. There has to be 60 yards between the actual stages of the event and the park perimeter, right? I don't think that, if I recall correctly, Alec, from when we were at Bayfront Park for Ultra 2018, I mean, the Ultra Worldwide stage was super close to the perimeter of the park.
Yeah, it was. I think it was maybe 100 yards, but it was really close to that limit.
Yeah, exactly. So I think that we're going to see some sizing issues here now. Like, I think it's going to have to shrink a little bit with this new 60-yard rule. And then finally, all noise-producing construction work will be prohibited at night, and any event who wants to kind of do their construction on their event, they will have to get a 4/5 super majority vote. Basically, to translate that, we're saying that there might be longer setup times now for Ultra because they're not allowed to do construction work on their stages at night.
I don't know why they just don't come out and say it, that they don't want festivals there. Like, that's fine. Just say that.
I don't know.
Like, don't try make some money on the site. I don't know. It's just bizarre to me. You know, but actually, I'm telling you,
yeah,
this is a really good spot for a certain type of festival, Smith. Do you know what would be really good to have there? Silent Disco Festival. That's the only one that could work. That's the only one that could work. So Ultra, yeah, you heard it here first on Beyond the Beats. If you want to return to Bayfront Park, Miami, it now needs to become one massive silent disco.
Alec, you're chock full of ideas, dude. I love it.
Oh, God. No, but it's, yeah. All right. Yeah. All right, guys. Like, just, you know, cut the crap. Just say that you don't want them there. You know, you just don't want festivals there. Like, I get it. Like, yeah, it's absolutely fine. But
there's really no need to dick around.
No, yeah, absolutely. It doesn't make sense. But whatever. Anyways. Yeah.
All right, Alec, real quick now to just, before we close out the news and culture section, Crossed, that takes place in San Diego. The festival is spelled CRSSD. Crossed Festival has just released their lineup. It takes place on September 28th and 29th. So pretty much on the same exact weekend as Gold Rush in Arizona. But Crossed just dropped a dope lineup, Alec. We've been texting about this. I think I'm going to go. I really think I'm going to go.
Yeah, man. I was talking with my girlfriend about it, and we're really considering it too. Not just because of the lineup, but also it's San Diego, and it's a beautiful time
of
year.
San Diego's a
beautiful
city.
Always beautiful, yeah, there, right? But, you know, in September is going to be absolutely perfect. You know, and just California, yeah, actually, in general, by the way, in September, October time is really nice, especially San Francisco, by the way. Apparently, yeah, that's what I've been told, yeah, so looking forward to that. But Crossed, you know, they've done a very, very good job with it. You know, you've got people like Fisher there, MK, Sheba Sun, Eli and Fur. I mean, that's just at one of their stages, the Palm stage. I love that concept, by the way, when they have like all these, you know, yeah, City Steps, the Palms, and Ocean View, right? Portugal the Man. Have you ever seen Portugal the Man? I've never.
I've never seen Portugal the Man either, but I do like some of their tracks. You know, I wouldn't be adverse to seeing them, but they're probably they're a headliner for this festival here, so they're probably going to conflict with somebody pretty big that I want to see. But I like that Cross is doing, like, you know, a pretty diverse lineup here. You got Portugal the Man, you got Hot Chip, you got SG Lewis, who is awesome, by the way. You got Kate Trinata, Ross from Friends, which I love seeing his name. I just think it's so funny. It's not actually Ross. It's not David Schwimmer, but I just love that name. You got Cascade doing a Redux set.
That's gonna be amazing.
That is gonna be dope. And then you got Richie Houghton, Amelia Lenz, talking about Art Bat, talking about 9x9, Julian Jewell. Dude, this lineup is great. And listeners, here's a really good thing about this lineup, right? Or not just this lineup, but this festival in general. This festival is beautiful from the videos and the pictures that I've seen. The production in it is, like, it's somewhat minimalistic, right? It's not going to have, like, the grandiose production of an EDC Vegas or Tomorrowland. It's a smaller, more localized festival to the SoCal area, but it's 21+. Apparently, they have great food, great beer. So it's a little bit more than just, like, a music festival. I think it's also just trying to... I feel like it's more of a party. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like it's more of a party with good food, good music, and it's 21+, so the crowd is a little bit older, so that vibe is going to be different from what you may be used to for 18+ events. I really want to go. I mean, I've heard great feedback, and people seem to really enjoy it, and I would love to go.
Yeah, you know, I agree. This is something that would be... I'm very much considering it, man. Really am. And I like that vibe. Yeah. I was talking... Again, it's funny that we... Talk about this now. So again, talking over the weekend with my girlfriend, just saying, hey, you know, I want to do like kind of a smaller festival experience. I want to see some of these smaller festivals because I think there's a different vibe that comes with it, right? And it does feel much more like a party rather than a festival, quote unquote. So I'm very much down for the minimalistic design. I don't know about you.
Oh, yeah. I really do want to check out what that vibe is like as well, Alec. And tickets go on sale really soon, actually. They go on sale on June 11th at 11 a.m. Pacific time. So guys, if you're interested in going, make sure you sign up and try to get tickets, because apparently tickets sell out really, really, really fast. And especially with a lineup like this, when you got names like Cascade, Portugal the Man, Fisher, Shiba-san, you guys kind of have to be on it if you're trying to go. So, you know, listeners, if you guys end up going out there, we'll keep you updated if we buy tickets and we plan a trip out there, but we'll definitely let you guys know.
Great, man. Yeah, we'll definitely keep everyone updated on that. And right, well, okay, switching gears, get ourselves ready for this one. It's our anti-plur section.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is something kind of small to, I feel like, to a lot of people, but to me, this annoys the fuck out of me, all right? So you got, you know, when you're in a crowd and you're like, it's nighttime and like it could be a festival or an indoor venue or what have you, right? There's always like, I feel like there's always a few people who are like, you know, and I'm totally fine with trying to help your friends get back to you. Like, if somebody had to go to the bathroom or go get a drink or, you know, whatever, get water, I'm totally fine. Like, I get it. Like, you want to get your squad back together, and you're worried about that they might not be able to find you in a thick crowd. I get it. But the answer to that is not to get your fucking phone out and turn on the flashlight and like wave it in everybody's face behind you. Like, you guys can't see me because obviously there's no video, but I'm like flailing my arms about. Like, I hate when people like take their phone out, like have their flashlight on and just like waving it around, and like it like illuminates, you know, everybody in the crowd behind them and in front of them. It's so irritating. Like, I feel like it really gets you out of the moment. You know, I feel like it's hard now to focus on what's going on stage or, you know, at everything around you when you got this dude like flashing a light in everyone's face. It's so annoying. Alec, what do you think?
Yeah, you know, I don't think it quite annoys me as much as it does you, but it definitely, again, it's part of this etiquette thing that we've been banging on about for the last few weeks particularly, right? Just talking about how you just really need to be just more aware of your surroundings, and just it's the point of going to these festivals and to these shows, because it doesn't just happen at festivals, right? It happens at, you know, clubs too, which I feel like is even...
Oh, it happens
everywhere. I feel like it's even worse, actually, at nightclubs in an enclosed space like that. I think it's a little bit worse than, you know, in an open-air festival. But regardless, just, you know, come on, people. Like, I understand that you're trying to, like, meet up with your squad, and that's important. But, you know, take those steps where it's like, you know, plan beforehand. Get your meeting spot. You know how all this stuff goes.
No doubt.
You know, just you know, if you have to do it. But just, you know, at least apologize or keep it to a minimum is really my take on it.
I mean, how much is your phone flailing around honestly going to fucking do anyways? Like, that's the thing, dude. There's like strobe lights constantly going off. There's like lighting always going off. You think that your friend is going to be able to see like your little flashlight from your iPhone 7? Like, get the fuck out of here with that shit. There's no way anybody could see that from any distance, okay? Come on. Let's be practical here, people. I'm sorry for getting so heated, dude. Maybe I'm just moody right now.
I think you might be a bit moody, man. But, I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. I'm not feeling, it's not helping my hangover, but no, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. No, it's totally a valid
point. I'm not here to help your hangover, Alec. Yeah.
I should be the moody
but
one.
Actually, when we first started the show, I think you used to take the reign on these anti-plur moments quite a bit. Now I feel like you kind of affected me. Like, I feel like now I'm just like,
no,
fuck everything.
You know, California's just chilled me out. California's chilled me out, man.
Yeah.
But you have a valid point, man. Valid point. Anyways, we digress big time there. But going into what we're listening to section, Samir, I know we were texting about this and you were so pumped. I mean, this was amazing. This was great. Take it away, man, because I know that you're particularly excited to talk about this.
Dude, great. Thank you, dude. Great week for releases, man. I mean, you know me, dude. I've been texting all of our group chats, you know, like I've been texting you. I've been like shoving it down everyone's throats, but we've had an amazing week for releases here in the EDM scene, okay? We're talking about, of course, Boys Noize with their Turn Off the Lights EP and Madion with his brand new song, All My Friends. Alec, how crazy has this been, dude?
Insane. That's the only way I can put it.
Yeah.
It's insane. It's awesome. I'm so, so glad, you know, that this is just, you know, it's just amazing. That Dog Blood is back with back in it, man. I mean, ever since we saw him at closed down Webster Hall, right? Like, that was just...
Yes, sir. Skrillex and Boys Noize doing it up for the Turn Off the Lights EP. And also, real quick, I just want to say, I'm stoked that I feel like EDM is kind of taking this trend. Because you got Dog Blood with Turn Off the Lights, and you got Chris Lake with Turn Off the Lights. You know what I'm talking about? Like, those two songs.
The Turn Off the Lights.
Like, I'm stoked that, like, people are, like, telling me to, like, save electricity and, like, turn off my lights. I think that's fantastic.
Is that the point of it?
I thought that was the whole point of this whole thing.
You might be reading a little too into that.
I thought it was a whole effort from the EDM scene, like, telling people to turn off their lights and save energy. Let's get back into it, right? Dog Blood with Turn Off the Lights. Alec, seriously, man, what did you think of this 4-track EP?
You know, man, this was just all around an amazing, amazing EP. We had already heard Turn Off the Lights, the song, which is the name of the EP as well, beforehand. But I'm telling you, man, this was just really well done. And I feel like it's a little bit different than stuff that they've done before, right?
Yeah, totally agree with you, Alec.
Like, it's just not the... It's the same, but it's not. You know what I mean? Like, it's just...
Exactly. I think you could definitely hear, like, what Skrillex and Boys Noize both do, like, individually. I think you can also hear, like, some of, like, what their previous collaborations have sounded like. I'll point out one song that I think is kind of heavily influenced by one of their previous releases real quick. It's that song, Next Order. That song, Next Order. I think Break Law, which is the first track on this Turn Off the Lights EP, the brand new EP. I think Break Law is almost a continuation of Next Order. Like, there are, like, in the drop for Next Order, there's like there's some pluck or there's some synth that they use that I think they've also kind of used a little bit in Break Law. I don't know. I feel like that's just my hypothesis here.
Well, that would be interesting. I think I can see that. I can totally see that.
I think, like, you know, this is a very solid EP. You hear both of their influences. You can hear what they were doing before, but they're also really trying to push forward their sound. And man, it fucking paid off, dude. Break Law is a great song. For Mind, the song that he did with Josh Pan and XNG. That's the artist name right there, XNG. Great song, man. That's stuck in my head. My personal favorite off this EP is Coco. I think that's what I'm saying. K-O-K-O-E.
Yes, I agree. That's my favorite too, man. Yes.
It's a tune. Yeah. It's done with Otira, which I believe is like an alias for Rato, which we'll talk about that in a little bit. And then finally, the title track of this EP, which was previously released, is Turn Off the Lights, which is also, it's a good song, but I think that the other three tracks are better than Turn Off the Lights itself. But
interesting.
Alec, let's quickly talk about Madeon's release too, because, man, we need to spend some time on this, man. All My Friends, Madeon is back after, what, almost 4 years of fucking disappearing from us, but we got him. Yeah, dude. He's back.
You know, I think he's I'm not entirely sure why he took some time off. Maybe it was just quite intense coming off of
Adventure.
Yes. So I feel like he wanted some creative, you know, a creative break from it. So it's nice to see him coming back to this, and he really delivered with this song, man. I really enjoyed it. You know, what about you? I was pretty pumped to see him release this, and I didn't realize this was coming out. Did you? I had no idea.
Oh yeah.
You did. I was not in the loop.
Yeah, I love Madeon. So
there you go.
Come on, Alex, stay with it.
God. Right.
No, I kept this from you on purpose. No, I love this song. I love his singing on it. I think this is just feel good Madeon, man. I love Madeon's music because it honestly feels so good to listen to. And so real quick, I just want to clarify, because we've said this multiple times in this episode, right? His previous solo release was in 2015 with the Adventure album, but his most recent release prior to this one was the collaboration he did with Porter Robinson for Shelter in 2016. But this is our first solo release from Madeon after almost 4 years. And he's back, man. I can't wait to hear the rest of this album. I can't wait to hear his set at Second Sky. I feel like he's going to be dropping some new IDs. And I just love Madeon because his music is just feel good. And it always gets me pretty pumped up. Listeners, let's get right into rating these two pieces of music here. We have a special rating scale here on Beyond the Beats. And, you know, if you have already heard this before, feel free to skip it. It's the same rating scale that we've been using. So it goes level 1 through 5, with 1 being the lowest and 5 being the highest. Level 1 is what we call level 1 is called One Listen. And One Listen is where Alec and I will probably pick up a piece of music. We'll listen to it once, but that'll probably be the only time that we listen to it. But we encourage our listeners to also give it a listen and formulate your own opinions. So level 1 is One Listen. Level 2 is what we call Background Noise. And it's where a piece of music comes on. You don't mind if it's in the background. You're doing your own thing. You're cooking. You're cleaning. You know, whatever. You're not going to make an attempt to skip it. It's just there to keep you company. So that's level 2, background noise. Level 3 is turn it up. This is pretty self-explanatory, but when a piece of music comes on, you're going to grab the volume knob. You're going to crank it up. Going to blast it out. So level 3 is turn it up. Level 4 is just bought tickets. It's when you hear a piece of music from an artist and it compels you to want to look up their tour dates and to find tickets of when they're coming to your city next. And level 5 is speechless. Speechless is where it's just you and the music. Everything else kind of falls away, melts away, and that's all that you can see and that's all that you can focus on. So just going through it one more time, level 1 through 5. Level 1 is One Listen. Level 2 is Background Noise. Level 3 is Turn It Up. Level 4 is Just Bought Tickets. And level 5 is Speechless. Alec.
Yes.
What did you think of Boys Noize and Skrillex doing Dog Blood with their new release, Turn Off the Lights, the EP? What did you think?
You know, man, I'm going to give it a Just Bought Tickets, a level 4 out of 5.
Oh.
Yeah, why is that surprising?
Okay. I don't know. I thought that we would have finally have had a speechless from you, dude.
Man, I am stingy with this. This is not going to go.
Yeah, you are very stingy with that. Yeah, holy crap.
Very, very stingy. I tell you what, though, this was it was up there. You know, again, we don't do decimals, so I can't tell you how close it was, since Samir won't let me. But
that's right. Yeah, I won't.
this is, you know, another reason to go see them again. I think, again, I agree with you, Coco was my favorite off of the EP, and that was just a fantastic song, but all of the songs were great. So
great song.
Level 4 out of 5 from me. Just bought tickets. You know, as soon as they're coming around, let's go see them, man.
Yeah, oh yeah, dude, I can't wait to catch them at Izu. But this, Alec, actually is also for me going to be a Just Bought Tickets. I don't know if you remember, but I gave out my first speechless, my first and only speechless a couple of episodes back when we were talking about the Ultra recap, which I believe was episode 10. I gave their set, the Dog Blood set from Ultra 2019, a speechless, just because I love the creativity. I love what they were doing. Like, the set always felt fresh. It always felt like it was moving, but something new was always happening. I loved it. For me, for this EP, and we've talked about Turn Off the Lights as an individual track. Like I said this before, I feel like it's missing a little bit of its low end. It's a little bit of its kick, a little bit of some oomph. If Turn Off the Lights, the title track, was not on this EP, if it was just a 3-track EP, I would have given this a speechless. Seriously. Yeah.
Whoa.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah, hot exactly. Take. Because, dude, let me just tell you, man, Break Law, that song, I mean, I listened to this Friday morning, right? As soon as I kind of, like, left my apartment to go to work, the night before I was out with my girlfriend and, you know, I was feeling a little bit tired from that night before. But let me tell you, man, Break Law, the first track on this EP, woke me up, dude. This was a great track, great way to start off the EP. For Mind, we've heard this in previous sets before. We heard this at EDC Vegas 2019 when Skrillex did his surprise set on Circuit Grounds. That song is nutty, dude. That song is so great. And shout out to Josh Pan and XNG for being on this track. But, dude, Coco, it is such a simple track in my opinion, but it is so well executed. I've heard that Otira, who this track is done with, O-T-I-R-A, is Rado. Rado has done releases on Boys Noize Records before, but why is Rado? I don't know why Rado's trying to use like a different alias with this. You know, I don't understand why he wouldn't just put with Rado on here. I feel like this is pretty well in line with some of his previous releases, so I'm not too sure why he's using an alias here.
Yeah, I don't know, man. Maybe he doesn't want to. I don't know. Maybe he doesn't want to detract from the fact that Dog Blood's getting back together. I honestly, man, I really have no clue.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing. Like, maybe he just doesn't want, like, all right, now my career's earmarked by the fact that I did a song with Skrillex and Boys Noize. Like, maybe he wanted to, like, be like, I can do good shit on my own as well. I don't know. I don't know why he went this route. But, dude, shout out to Rado shout out to Otira for, you know, doing a track with these guys. And then, you know, we talked about Turn Off the Lights before, but it's a pretty catchy tune, Turn Off the Lights. I just think it's missing a little bit of oomph. So this is a 4 out of 5 for me. Alec, what'd you think of Madion's All My Friends?
I'm going to give this a level 4 again, a level 4 out of 5.
Nice.
Just bought tickets, you know. I definitely, you know, it's not my favorite song of his, but it's enough to really make me, you know, okay, I need to see him when I can, just because perhaps there's a different direction he might be going in slightly. And it just makes me really excited to hear some more of his music, and more importantly, really excited to see him live. Because, you know, I think to capture some of the multiple dimensions to songs, you know, particularly maybe ones like this, and even, you know, we could talk about that for Dog Blood as well, you really need to hear it live to really truly appreciate it.
Yeah, I love this song. I really did. But I'm also going to give it a Just Bought Tickets as well. I totally, totally agree with you, Alec. It's not like one of my favorite releases from Madion, but it's high up there, dude. It really is high up there for me. And I'm just really excited, like I said, to hear more from him at Second Sky when he does the Porter Robinson Music Festival in about a week and a half, actually. So I'll see you soon. Fantastic releases here this week, and I'm so happy we talked about these two pieces of music for the What Are We Listening To section. But finally, no Beyond the Beats episode is complete without us spotlighting two up-and-coming artists that you guys need to hear. Alec, can you tell me about the artist that you're watching this week?
The artist that I'm watching this week, he's actually a little bit bigger than the people we normally do, because he's got around 9,000 or so followers on SoundCloud. But, you know, part of the reason why I'm including him is because, you know, there seems to be a real, how do I say this, like a movement almost of UK style house and UK bass, right? It's really starting to make a big time movement in the US, and you can even see that go as far as to drum and bass too. So I wanted to take the time to introduce this artist. His name is New Bass, that's spelled N-U-B-A-S-S, and he's pretty much the epitome of that UK bass sound, as well as the night bass sound, which is where the song that we're just about to play, in fact, you could probably hear it creeping up right now. It's New Bass, Dead Prez. Take a listen.
I kill the president.
Really, really love this track, dude. I mean, really stoked on the fact that this record was released on Night Bass Records, which is AC Slater's label. Like, I feel like it fits perfectly in this imprint. How did you come across this song?
Well, you know, I'm a fan of like the UK garage and the UK bass scene, right?
Yeah.
So I've known about Nightbass and some of the people that they've really been starting to feature for quite a while now. And so Nubase is actually somebody I was thinking about mentioning him earlier on, but you know, I just had to get it in now because he's really grown quite a large following now. Particularly he's picking up a lot of traction in the US, so I just had to like get him in. But you know, I've had my eye on him for a while. So as you could probably tell just from the snippet that we played, if you're into people like Holy Goof, you'd be into him. Some more of Chris Lorenzo's, like, you know, from his from more of his bassy type of sounds, right? Not really his tech house, but some of the releases that he has that which are in the garage. You'll really like this guy. And Nubase is really just, he's just a really good figurehead going forward for Nightbass. It'll be really interesting to see, because I think he's quite a young guy. It'd be really interesting to see how he takes it going forward, because right now you've got people like Chris Lorenzo and obviously AC Slater kind of being the forefront of Nightbass. But I don't know, man, I'm kind of gonna think, I think that I could peg this guy as being someone who does a lot more with Nightbass going forward.
I'm really, really stoked, and I can't wait to see what this guy does next, man. Great find. And I also think that Nightbass Records is actually like, it's such a great label.
It is.
You know what I mean? Like, I feel like they've really honed in on the sound that they're looking for, and I think like all their artists like have their own unique way of doing it while also kind of staying to the theme of what the record label's all about. So I love it.
Yeah, I love it too, and they're doing a very, very good job just bringing that UK sound to North America. But dude, you know, you've got someone that really should also be on people's radars. Talk to me.
Alec, I am stoked to be talking about this guy, Gurf from Maryland. He's just wonderful. He's such a nice person, first of all. We had some preliminary conversations prior to us recording this episode. He's on SoundCloud. He's got about 2,500 followers. On Spotify, he has 6,000 monthly listeners. And on Instagram, he has about 2,600 followers. He has done this song with this guy, Run It, who we have once previously featured on this show. Listeners, I don't know if you guys recall, but Run It had this track, All Falls Down, which is great. But man, Gurf and Run It teamed up to do the song, Redemption, which you guys have got to hear right now. Take a listen.
You know, it's this really interesting take on trap, right? And I really like where he's going with this, and I can totally see the synergy with him and Run It there. I mean, this is awesome, man. Like, what a great little find that you found. And I can see some pretty big things on the horizon for this guy. It's a great sound.
Absolutely, dude. He's such a nice guy too. And I think he's doing a lot of really great things, I think, for this scene as well. Like, he heads a artist group called Partika Artist Group. He heads it with Run It. So, I mean, these guys, I think they're pretty good friends, and they've kind of come up in the music scene together. But they're a group based in Baltimore, Maryland. They like to get experimental with trap and hip hop inspired beats, and you guys have got to check out their artist collective. It is really, really good. And one thing I really love about them is the fact that when they put out a release on this collective, not only will they make the song free for download, but they will also provide some of the stems in the track for free as well. Yeah, so trying to foster this community of creativity, like, I love that, dude. And I think that the more openness and willing to share among artists and industry professionals we have, the better our community becomes. And I think Gurf is just a fantastic epitome of that. So I think this is just great guy, and I can't wait to continue to have more conversations with him.
Yeah. No, thank you so much for bringing that up. And that, you know, again, I love that sentiment that they're doing there. I think that's a really good idea. And it just, as you said before, man, you hit the nail on the head. It really does foster that sense of community amongst the EDM fans. But Wow. All right, man. This was a good episode.
Yeah, we talked about a lot of stuff, dude. Yeah. But listeners, we hope you guys enjoyed this one. And, you know, please, you know, feel free to reach out to us on Instagram or Facebook or Twitter. You know, we'll have all of our social medias plugged in our show notes. But if you guys enjoy the show, if you guys enjoyed the episode, you know, please feel free to leave us a rating or share this with your friends. I mean, those things go a really long way. This past month of May, we've had a fantastic month of streaming. So thank you guys so much for all your support of the podcast. I mean, it really does mean a lot to us. And, you know, your messages and DMs, seriously, like Alec and I, we always get really excited when people reach out to us online and tell us that they enjoy the show. So thank you guys so much.
Yeah, we really do. So again, just to reiterate, Samir, feel free to reach out. You know, if you can give us a rating, that would be great, whether it's good or bad. We just want to do everything we can to improve the show and make sure that we're bringing quality content
absolutely
to your ears. So that's a wrap from my end, Samir. I think we're good to wrap this episode up. And
all right, sir. Yeah. We will see everybody next week for episode 19. Stay tuned for Beyond the Beats. Give us a follow. We'll talk to you soon. Peace.